Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Excellent remix, David. First of all, I'd like to advocate that we leave the studio and do the show outside today. Anybody just want to set up the fire and we'll just sit in some Adirondack chairs, stare at the sky, and the Lions just scored again? Can we do that?
Let's do that, man. I'll set up the fire.
Golly.
Give me 15 minutes.
It's gorgeous outside. It emulates our football season.
It is.
I mean, yesterday was hilarious. You and I mean, we'll joke around about stuff. We're not going to bat 1,000, but twice this year we've basically said, all right, we got ourselves a BOGO.
Groupon. Now you see what Groupon means.
At 14-3, the Jacksonville Jaguars hit the transfer portal. They opted out. Now, I'm not being insulting to you. You still have to play. But I imagined all the times I would make fun of the man to my left over the last 15 years. Rico, what's going on, man? You want to watch a game this weekend? No, I'm in San Antonio at a 7-on-7 tournament. That's what it had to look like. You were running 7-on-7 out there.
Actually, you're right. That's what it looks.
That is.
Yeah, I'm at AAU tournament. I'm at 7-on-7 because, yes, it got to the point. Mike, we did the pregame show. I did it with Costa, and I remember telling people, if you have plans for today around 3:34, go ahead and make them. Go ahead and tell your wife you're going wherever, set up dinner plans, go, because you aren't going to miss anything. You could have left sooner than that. I mean, that was utter domination. Now, it was Kirby Joseph was like, look, if you're not ready to play us, that's not on us.
No.
And they came in there and just, they did something that I think great teams do. You never play down to your level of competition. You make them rise to your level, and you saw, you're right. The Jags were like, guys, seriously? I mean, when Campbell, you know, challenged the one, like, really? You can't even let us have this catch? No.
Uh-uh.
You get nothing. You can go now.
And look, we can, if there's a negative, obviously, Anzalone's injury. Well, Jack Campbell. You've had a nice season sharing time. Well, now it's all your, every rep will go to Jack Campbell at every turn. Good. But overall, you look at it, it's just not, that's not NFL football. You don't beat people 52-6. I mean, you can go throughout time. Rico's had some great teams. I've had some great teams. You know, David Steelers. You don't put up 52. This team's done it twice. You don't beat people by outgaining them by not one, not two, not three, not four, but nearly 500 yards. Like, guys, I can't force you to get aboard. And if you're still nervous or scared or have PTSD, it's a you thing. You're winning the Super Bowl. And why run from it? I'm not. I haven't since summer. I'm not going to do it now. I believe in my heart we're going to be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and we're going to win the damn thing. Namely because big game, little Lamar. David, you beautiful bastard. Oh, man. Hope Lamar's head is warm in that stupid head warmer he was wearing. So listen, back to the point as I get the Lamar slander off my chest.
You good?
I'm so good. So I'm so tired of him being anointed, but in the biggest games, he can't win them. Lamar. So here's what I wanted to offer. What is your favorite thing about this team? But I wanted to offer something new. Okay, just something that jumped out at me watching the game. And in fairness, guys, outside of J-Mo grabbing his bratwurst, there's not a whole lot to take out of that game. But I wanted to offer this. Can we say the Rico Beard game, which we'll get to later, can we say the Lions have the most physical, angry, violent secondary in recent NFL memory? In almost a five-minute span, you saw Kirby Joseph run through ATN's legs and bury him in a way you don't see defensive players do, much less DBs. Mm-hmm. You saw Brian Branch send the guy into another dimension like it was Quantum Leap. And then you had Amik Robertson, who's basically 4 feet tall, murder a man. All three hits were like Nick Bolton Chiefs.
Kills people.
And Carlton Davis, very good against the run, wants to come up and support, get physical, even wearing his mitten. That is something that I don't think we identify enough, is the mindset of the team. It's one thing if the D-line does it or the linebackers. But for the secondary, which are always viewed as the softest guys on the defense, right? Mm-hmm. The divas.
Yep.
You don't have any of that. You have killers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just did it jump. Did that jump to you?
It, Mike, it did.
Amidst the 7-on-7?
No, that was 7-on-7 football. I mean, the J-Mo touchdown, that's what it looks like, seriously.
What, grabbing your junk?
No, when you just catch the ball and nobody touches you, and yeah, that's 7-on-7.
J-Mo looked like Kenny Saturday night when Georgia stormed back.
Yeah, dear J-Mo, here's yet another, you're going to be a little light in the pocket for that one, pulling your Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, it's going to be six figures.
But I agree with you, but I was there a long time ago. And the reason being is because the Lions are kind of getting a reputation around the league. They're dirty. The defense, they're dirty. They hit people. They injure people. They literally hit too hard. That tells me you have an elite, hard-hitting defense. Because when people have to give you that label, okay, guys, you hurt my quarterback, or you hurt this player, or you knocked this player out.
Too bad.
But when you go and look at the play, like, well, that was a football play. It was not a cheap shot. You know, looking what Brian Branch hit, that was a football play. Like, wow, yeah, you don't see it.
They're all football plays. Right,
because the game has been watered down so much that everything's a 15-yard penalty. But no. They're not cheap shots, but yes, they punish you. And the great defenses have that reputation of being punishers. I'm not going across the middle. You are not going to send me on a route one-on-one with that guy out, that headhunter. No, not going there. Change the play.
Yeah, I don't know. It jumped out to me as something that was my takeaway from yesterday, because candidly, guys, I'm not being disrespectful. It's the ultimate compliment I can pay you. The game's over at 14-3 because you physically saw, you saw it, if you know what you're watching. The Jaguars quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put that term out there lightly. I don't disrespect the guys who play these sports. You don't ever want to use the Q word. But there are certain times in an NFL or like an NBA game when a team goes out and loses by 60, they quit. It is so far outside the margins, beyond the pale. Mm-hmm. Hockey, you see a team lose 10-1 or something, or baseball, 24-3. Yeah, they quit. They had their third baseman pitching. Yesterday in the NFL, I watched the Jags at 14-3 go, warm the bus. And what you don't allow for is any of that. Like Dan Campbell challenging calls, going for it on fourth down. Why do we have the starters in up 36 in the fourth quarter? No, I'm not saying it's classless. It's fun. It's unnecessary.
It's only fun until you lose somebody, and then you have to answer that question.
But I'm making the point.
Yeah.
What Kirby said is their mentality. Mm-hmm. If you are not careful, we're going to kick your ass.
Mm-hmm. That's not our job. You better come in here ready, because we are.
Oh, the Lions will roll to town, and they will impregnate your girl. They will just come to town, take her to dinner while you're at work, and you know what happens next.
The Lions are a menace.
They are.
In all the right ways. And the other thing about the defense that I think that they are a part of that Lions hangover, is that the defense beats up on the opposing offense so badly that the next game, they're not ready because they're still in pain for what the Lions did. Now, well, that's not fair because I think we know the Jags will lose their next game. But when you look at it, everybody that they played lost. Dallas had a bye week. Still lost when they came off the bye week. So at first it was a coincidence, but now I'm believing. Yeah, that hangover thing is real. The Lions beat you so badly.
Did you savor the athletic display all day by Jared Goff? Mobile golf season, people. Hope you enjoyed that 9-yard scamper. They should put that to Rocky music. Every week he's getting a first down using them twigs.
When they said he had 18 yards all year and he had 20 in the first half.
That's right.
I said, what are we doing here?
David, two words, speed training. Jared Goff is now an improviser. He's extending plays with his feet. Come on, get aboard the movement. Anytime I send you my little graphic with Jared Goff with flames from his feet like a cartoon, come on.
I laughed.
I was just like, this is great. Mobile Goff doing it again.
Oh,
little man. Scamper, couple first downs each week. He slots in somewhere just underneath maybe Justin Herbert and Lamar for mobility.
Yeah. And on a side note, if you're smart, man, the Lions can make you money. The anytime touchdowns, just bet them all.
You could have bet any player who you can name or who has a jersey at the team score and it cashed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, there are two ways to play this. Your takeaways, you do whatever you like. My takeaway is your secondary that doesn't get enough shine, and Brad Holmes deserves credit here. They went from a bad secondary to a good secondary. They went from a weak secondary to a physical secondary. And a lot of that is the archetype of the player you're looking for. We talked about Robertson coming from the Raiders, that he can't play the outside. He's not much physically. He's like 4 feet tall, but he'll hit you. He's like a little pit bull. He's perfect for the slot. Brian Branch is a destroyer. I will never understand how he fell out of the first round. I don't get it. We didn't get a draft night. Like, if they had taken him 12th overall, we all would have went like, okay.
Oh, dude, if they had swapped him and Campbell, I think everybody would be like, oh, see, yeah, that makes more sense.
But he's a destroyer. Kirby Joseph has turned into a mean, mean man. So when you start looking at it, you go, you know what? Other teams don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, other teams barely have a secondary that can cover the pass. But what Rico said is right. You turn on the film, your receivers better be on a swivel. Mm-hmm. And your running back, they support in run D. You don't see that. I promise you. Let a loser like me that watches every game every week tell you this. You do not see corners in run support.
If you're a wide receiver, you better go to the DK Metcalf weightlifting class, because you can't come in here and look like the Eagles wide receivers and think you're going to survive in this game.
No, but it's truly a special time. It really is, Rico. These are games you don't see. I don't think fans know how to categorize it, because there is no reference point. There's been no time this team has ever been like this. But, yeah, here's your reminder. This ain't normal.
Yeah, I took away something. I'll give that to you later.
Oh, man. Amazing. Yes, no. Absolutely. Let's just keep it moving.
Yes.
Rico, be curious. Okay. All right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Yeah, no, none of that. Hi, everybody. So we're going to have some fun today. And by fun, I mean misery. I want to play a numbers game with you. And whether you enjoy the show, hate the show, love to hate the show, hate to love the show, it doesn't really matter. I don't care if you think I have the hockey knowledge of a doorknob. Here's the things we know after the Wings lost to San Jose last night. Rico, do you know what the numbers 10-6-3 mean sequentially?
I do. Okay. But yes.
Great. Those would be your shots on goal by period. 10-6-3. How about more numbers? 16. That's both the number of teams in the Eastern Conference and your placing in said Eastern Conference by points. More numbers. 30th. That's right. That's your place in the league. 30th out of 32 teams in point total at essentially the quarter pole in year six of the rebuild. So, all the Yzerman crumbums, come on and defend your boy. Now we get to have some fun. See, I'm not going to tell you how I feel because it doesn't matter. I'm not up here like Don Cherry in a fancy little blazer. I don't have a poppy on. Oh, and I didn't grow up playing the game in a stupid beer league. So here's the deal. The hockey elite, you explain it. You tell me how to feel. I just want to be a member of the American public today, where I'm told what to think. Tell me what to think about the Iser plan. And if this is just going to be a sea of people demanding that they fire Derek Lalonde, I will tell you, you are not looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, how about the guy shopping for the groceries? Can we at least acknowledge that may be a problem? I mean, in the end, guys, if the goal was, hey, we're going to rebuild and by year six or seven make the playoffs, that's fine. If you told me the day Yzerman was hired, that it would be year six, we'd be dead last in the East at the quarter pole as we approach Thanksgiving. And frankly, having the number one pick in the draft looks more certain than making the playoffs. And that I wouldn't be able to talk about the words Stanley and Cup in the same sentence by year seven, I would have said there's no way. It had to be a failure. Did he get hit by a bus? What happened? So I want to hear from the people. You tell me. It's your team. You protect this guy, this organization, as the Canadians like to say. You protect the sweater, as the Canadians like to say. Go ahead. Go ahead, just please. I need you. Help me help you. As the Wings lose another embarrassing game. And you needed a power play goal late and deep into the third period at like the 17:48 mark to even get to overtime. So here's what I need from you. Tell me where you're at. You don't care where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You don't even like my opinion about your hockey team. And hell, there are some people in this town, they're offended on surface. See, I think that what is more honest, Rico, as we sit here today and I learned that at one point you were a nude car model. More on that later. I want to know what is more honest. Identifying criticism.
Or what you just said.
No. Identifying criticism or making excuses for failure. Like criticizing the failure or making excuses for the failure. What's more honest?
Criticizing the
okay,
failure.
So then why are we vilified? Why do I have to listen to endless excuses?
Okay, rhetorical question, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
You know why you're being vilified and why people are vilified. If Steve Yzerman's name was Steven Johnson, Steven Smith,
okay,
you wouldn't get this amount of backlash. But when people see Steve Yzerman, they still remember the glory days, the captain, him holding the cup, him skating around the Joe, and they can't separate the two.
Grow up.
So you're allowing him to make more and more mistakes. You're giving him another gear. Just wait because you're wrapped up in
nostalgia. You wait because this is like waiting at a bar. And you've already waited in line for 45 minutes and you go, well, I can't leave now. No, it's a sunk cost.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I don't care. I'm not saying the F word. I'm saying, tell me how to feel in year six of this.
Yeah.
And the team blows. Yeah. They're not fun to watch. They don't create shots. The shots they do create don't go in. They're not good. Metrically speaking, even a dunce cap like me looks and sees 30th, 32nd, 28th, 30th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 29th. They do nothing well. Mm-hmm. So tell me how to feel.
Still playing roulette with the goalies. Lost 5 out of 6 games.
Tell me.
I know it upset Kenny.
Kenny, what do you have to say?
Excellent introduction, Mike. I appreciate that.
Paul Sarah liked it. Oh, by the way, David's on jury duty today.
Congratulations, David. He is actually very excited about that. But to me, you can't beat the Ducks. You can't beat the Sharks. You had never had a shot against the Kings. I put this all in the show sheet. Guys, this road trip, I was like, you need to get two out of three of these games. The Ducks stink. The Sharks stink. And if one of them's a stinker, I can live with one of those games being a stinker. They were all stinkers. They put up, I think they were outshot by the Kings 41 to like 15. There was a period that they only had one shot. And the thing last night, the thing this team does well, to answer your question of what does this team do well, it's supposed to be the power play. The power play ranks pretty decently in the NHL. They couldn't score when they needed to. Everything about last night bothered me because it was a microcosm of everything wrong with this team, whether it was the defense, whether it was the forward group. You have one good forward line. The Tarasenko signing has been a disaster. This whole thing has been a disaster.
Oh, but Stevie doesn't want to hand out term, can he?
Well, that's the thing, too, is you talk to people online. You talk to crumb bums, ticket texters, callers, whoever you want to talk to. They're all going to say the same thing. They're all going to be, oh, well, what are you pressing the panic button for so quickly? Why are you so upset? Why? Because it's year six. When are we allowed to have expectations? You tell me when I'm allowed to be upset.
That's why I did the topic the way I did. I'm not saying anything. You can't blame me. I've said nothing. You tell me how to feel. Here, when it comes to hockey, I'm an ignoramus. Go ahead. Tell me how to feel. Educate me. Because all I know is there's no rebuild in sports that in year six you can be in last place and prime your pump over it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it. And don't do the whataboutism. I'm not expecting a Stanley Cup this year. I didn't expect one last year. Making the playoffs in hockey is the equivalent of relieving yourself and not hitting the bowl. It's not hard. You're an adult.
We saw a team like L.A., fall ass backwards, fail, and then start again. They're in second place in the West, I think, right now, or at least in their division.
And they got the helmets place. You hate.
Those doorknob helmets don't get me started. Those shiny chrome, you know what? Get myself in trouble.
248-539-9797. So tell us, as the Red Wings sit right now, they're bottom of the East. As the Red Wings sit right now metrically, they are, by definition, a terrible hockey team. So go ahead. Kenny and I hated the summer. You hated us. Here we sit. We didn't love last summer. You hated us. Character impugned. Okay. Tell me again what we're doing here. Because my message to Rico or anyone who would listen is, if it takes 6-7 years to make the playoffs, I could have hired anybody off the street. And if it's going to take 8 or 9 to be even in the contention, the discussion for a Stanley Cup. Not that you would get it done, but you would be competing for it. Once again, I could hire one of my dogs. He doesn't even have opposable thumbs. And I'm pretty sure doesn't speak English. You get to a point, you hired Yzerman because he's special. Special. This is not special. It's special in all the wrong ways, Rico. This is terrible.
No, it is. Because you're getting closer and closer to Holland's prophecy being true, saying, you know, guys, it's going to take 10 years. And you're like, no, it's not. Well, it's starting to look that way. You see Yzerman as a hero. And then you also say, well, he's the guy that he helped in building the Lightning, and he's going to come here and do that in Detroit. And no.
Here's the one thing I'm starting to get annoyed by, is if I have to read another piece, and whether it's the Hockey News, whether it's Red Wings specific coverage, if I got to hear about, but wait, just wait, we have some incredible talent coming in the next 2 to 3 years. Nope.
You know what they need to do with that talent?
Both. Or both.
They need to weaponize that. They can use that to trade for players.
Oh,
they can
use... you're so stupid. He'd have to spend a lot of money in term.
It doesn't matter. I'm tired of
it. It feels like we've had this conversation.
Well, exactly. At what point do we have to have expectations here? Why am I still waiting?
Just wait for the kids.
It feels like we had this conversation before a few months ago. Different organization.
My whole point is if I have to wait another 2-3 years for the kids to be here, you're at year 10, no accountability, no expectation, and what? You're going to allow poor little Lalonde to run cover for you? He's going to be your meat shield?
That's basically
it's going to be like a movie? You're going to hold him in front of your body as the hostage? Is that what we're doing? Help me. Help me help you. I'm not a smart man. Here, I don't know the front from the back of a hockey puck. I don't know nothing.
What's a Zamboni 2-4-A? Here, tell me how to feel about the Iser plan. As just somebody who hates failure, and all I see with this team is failure. And by the way, guys, it's one thing to be bad. It's another to be boring. You are, in fact, the latter. I dare a hockey snob to call me up and telling me they're all bricked up watching the Wings. They're an awful product. Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong there, too. No. I don't care. I'm here till 6. 248-539-9797.
I thought it was going to be an interesting game. They had the lead, and then they lost it.
You're telling me you can't win with 9 total shots the last 2 periods? You're telling me you can't win when you're one of the worst teams 5-on-5 in shot creation in hockey? I know, I'm an ignorant slut. Those are just numbers I read, right?
You know, every time I yell, Kenny tells me, stop yelling, shoot the puck, so.
You know, in fact, shoot the puck guy may be the smartest guy of all in this conversation as it pertains to this team. 248-539-9797. All right, 3 o'clock. Good to have you aboard. Nice to hear from Rieger there. Rico's disgusted. I have some audio for you.
No, I was going to ask David.
What's up?
Real quick before we get into that, this will make your podcast partner happy. Looks like Jim McElwain is retiring at Central Michigan. This is according to Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, hand him the POS award. Bum. Go back to your barn and have another cocktail, you loser. Acting like he didn't know Stallions was on his sideline, you hayseed idiot. They never, you know, if CMU had a dignified bone in their body, they wouldn't have given him the option to retire. They would have fired him out of a space cannon.
I've never seen an investigation that takes this long.
Oh,
when the
please.
Guy has actually admitted it was him.
Just, that school's a piece of garbage.
I told Cookies it should be a parking lot.
And if your guy has got a spine that's made of anything other than Jell-O, you never play CMU in any sport ever again.
He's already said as much.
Done. No more. I'll play every other Mac school. They're done.
Either that or you know what? You can come. We're not paying you. You get no dime. And you know what?
Please.
Yeah, it'll be like Kirby. Take this BTA.
And don't get on AO, Michigan fans. Notice, I ain't coming at you. That's something that guy allowed. Mm-hmm. I don't care it was your guy. I don't blame you. That's on them.
And then you covered it up. What? Was he? I don't really recall.
Retire.
Who that could be.
What nonsense. See, now I'm upset and I don't even want to do the topic I was doing. Damn you. Why wasn't that in the update?
Because I'm better than the update.
Well, okay. Wow. And Luke Sloan's spine. Dead. We have other audio I want to play. And this is important. I didn't react to this. Rico didn't react to this. But man alive, every other show on this station, people were going banana land about this. They were upset. And I look at this and I'm going, all right, well, that's just a clown statement. And all right, F around and find out, I guess. So this comes from Hans Gruber's love child, Nick Wright. Wait, he looks like if Hans Gruber from Die Hard had a kid, it'd be Nick Wright. The point is, Nick Wright, who is a Kansas City guy, who is a Kansas City Chiefs superfan, slandered the Detroit Lions. I don't react to it. I know the Lions are the best team in the league. I know deep down Nick Wright would be in the fetal position, terrified of playing this team. Because again, while his god of a quarterback can't throw for 200 yards, our civilian of a quarterback has largely been an MVP candidate. But take a listen to what Nick Wright had to say, and then we're going to discuss why we're not reacting to it, really. Go ahead. Now, I don't react to it. I hear stupid stuff all the time. Hell, I say stupid things every now and again. The point is, you, the Lions fan, on the midday show and on the morning show, bent out of shape. So Rico has a question for you. I'm not taking credit for the question. It's not mine. Rico asked it, and I went, well, I guess that's a topic. So, Rico, please, ask the question exactly the way you said it on the phone to me earlier.
For Lions fans, why do you care? Why does it matter what anybody says about you? Why are you so insecure? You're the best team in football. and Nick Wright says something bad about you and some people got upset. Why do you let this bother you? Aren't you past this by now? Aren't you better than this? This shouldn't affect you at all. Period.
One note, the one thing I would say to this, and again, if you talk 20 hours a week and you don't say something stupid, well, you never said anything at all. If you're going to go with the civilian guy take, you know what defines civilian right now? Pat Mahomes. 15 touchdowns, 11 picks, a QBR of 67. Sorry, dude. Not the hill you want to die on when you've had to turn your quarterback into a check down Charlie and you've had to lean on the dead body of Kareem Hunt to reignite your offense. I don't know if that's the hill I want to die on. And when you distill it down that somehow the Lions can't do X, Y, and Z because of Jared Goff, I think you're kind of cheapening the product they've built, dominating the line of scrimmage on both fronts, having a top five defense right now, and having an offense that you can take away one guy, it's the other guy that kills you. I look, dumb take, no big deal. I move along. We're winning the Super Bowl. But why do you allow people like Nick Wright to get you unnerved? When will you just be able to brush it off? Because you should be self-assured. You know your team's good. Who cares what this guy's got to say? Mm-hmm. I don't know. David? What?
No, he's wrong. He's dead wrong here. And Lions fans, you're right, Rico. They shouldn't matter. You shouldn't be looking for the love. Just be you. Just go out there. It's like I tell my kids. If somebody was to say something to them at school, and I'm like, okay, well, do you believe it's true? No? Okay, well, then ignore it. Yeah. Why are you using your energy and your time on this guy?
Why are you so insecure? And David, look, I've said this about my team and the Spartan fan base for years. And I've said, MSU is the most insecure fan base.
Oh, they,
I've said it, Mike. And it's like, because each and every time somebody says something, oh, chip on the show. D'Antonio used that and he mastered it. Oh, you know, we've been disrespected again, chip on the shoulder. After a while, it's who cares? Go beat them. You're better than them. Prove them wrong. Shut them up. Keep them quiet. Next game. Lions fans, you're doing the takeover. You're winning games. You're destroying teams. Why does it matter to you? Why do you let stuff like this still upset you? Unless you believe there's some truth in there. Unless you believe maybe he's on to something.
No, it is the same.
Because other than that, I don't get it.
It is the same fan base that had a large portion of it. Not a majority, but a large portion of it were pimping that Hendon Hooker stuff. Didn't want to pay Goff his money. Now, you don't hear any of those people now, rightfully so. But I don't know. I'll leave it to them to make the argument. Nothing anybody really says about the Lions bugs me. I don't really care. The data speaks.
Yeah. Oh, they're too mean. Who cares? Oh, they run up the score. Who cares? Oh, they have no class. Who cares? Go beat them.
By the way, while you were doing that, I had a little article up here in front of me. Mm-hmm. Navy just dropped their uniforms for the Army game. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This might be the best uniform game of the year.
Well, each year, each team, I'll give them credit.
I'm just telling you.
They try to outdo the previous year. I like the fact when Navy all had the different helmets.
Wait till you see these. Okay. These are nice. 248-539-9797.
A touchdown. An actual passing touchdown.
Well, Navy's been kind of a car wreck the last 3 weeks, and now Horvath is hurt. Don't worry about it. Keep slandering the best and brightest. You're a real good American.
Just curious.
You're a POS.
Just curious.
You and McElwain, you should go live in a barn together.
These are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
This helmet, oh, my goodness.
You compare that with Army, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'll give them credit. Like, when they do the drops, both schools represent.
Oh, yeah. You'll like these. They're excellent.
And I'll be glued to the game for like 30 seconds.
Dude, you're just terrible. 248-539-9797. The Nick Wright comment. Just a civilian at quarterback. Why does that upset you? Versus, who cares what this goofball's got to say? You know what you watch every Sunday. You know what this team has been now for well over a year. You know what? My response to Nick Wright, bring the Chiefs. Yeah. Bring on that aging relic. I would pray to God we play the Chiefs in a Super Bowl. I beg of you. Because of Baltimore
and of the Bills, of the AFC elite, I think there is a massive gap between Bills and Ravens and Chiefs. And Mahomes is special, but he ain't special this year. And that team's not special, and that offense ain't special. Pardon me if I'm not all bricked up seeing 163 passing yards at Buffalo, Nicholas.
Yeah. We've gotten long past the part of, well, you know, I don't know if they can sustain this. They have. You should, as a Lion fan, you should be brushing this off, like, whatever. Say what you want. Spell my name right. Plain and simple.
Oh, hi, it's me again. All right, so once again, I do believe that George Carlin said it best as it relates to our next topic. Think about how dumb the average American is and then realize half the people are dumber than that. And that's how we arrive at this point. So Rieger did this yesterday, and Rico is right to put it on the show sheet. I'm just spiteful of it. Out of the freep, there was a poll about a big move they'd like to see the Tigers make. Do you know what 31% of the fans decided they wanted their big move to be? I know you know it's rhetorical, I know.
Bregman.
No. It would be bringing back 42-year-old Justin Verlander. So, obviously, lots of history there. But he turns 42 in February. I know he was coming off an injury. He had an 8 ERA in 7 starts, okay? 8. He was unpitchable. He got left off the playoff roster for the Strauss. Does Verlander want to come back? What do you make of this answer? In May, he said fate would decide if he pitched for the Tigers again, but obviously, I think about it. Year prior, Verlander had a 5.48 ERA in 17 starts last year after he was 13-8 with the Mets in the 2023 regular season, split between the two, right? Now, he won the Cy Young in 22, but Father Time is undefeated. So somehow, this is what kills me with you Tiger fans sometimes, and you need to explain yourselves. How could you say bring JV back at 31%? Second place was Bregman at 25%. Third place was trade for Vladdy Guerrero at 20%. Now, go ahead. I'll leave it to you guys. First of all, bringing back the 42-year-old, dry-aged body of Justin Verlander is not a big move. But it would fit the profile of what we know about your franchise. All reports this year, you only want a pitcher with 1 year a term. Well, hell, when you sign a guy this old, you don't know if he'll be alive in a year. So, Verlander would fit. How much money would Verlander cost? Nothing. Kenny will spend more on beer tonight at the Wings game. So cheap and 1 year, and enough chuckleheads will buy his t-shirt jersey at Comerica? Yeah. Sadly, this is probably not crazy. I am going to stay out of it now that I have just given you my take. This is now Rico's topic.
It's nostalgia. And that's what the Tigers will be selling you is nostalgia. You remember the good old days. I promise you they would have games and give away bobbleheads for the no-hitters and all the different things that he did here in Detroit. It would be the best way to really kickstart this season and say, look what we did. What's old is new. We brought back JV, and we're going to put him in the rotation next to Scooble. He's going to hand the keys to Scooble and say, you're going to be the next me one day. So, yes, I think that's why people, especially Tiger fans, love JV. I think they hated the fact that he had to leave. It's why everybody rooted for the Astros when he went there to win the World Series, because you felt like Detroit was winning a de facto World Series, and now you're bringing him back. I don't agree with that poll, just for the record. Don't agree with it whatsoever. But Mike, you said it best. When you really dig deep into this, it actually fits what the Tigers said they want to do.
1 year, cheap. It's a great grift because people don't know their elbow from their bleep.
You can sell it to the 1901 people. He can come and sign autographs and sit in a cool chair.
You'll have Verlander ball night. You'll do a Verlander retirement ceremony. It'll pack the park on those 2 days.
Oh, every time he pitches, because they'll sell it. You never know. Maybe he could throw another no-hitter
tonight. And
the
TV network will play along. They say must see JV.
I can already see it. So here, I guess I'm a complete jackass. I'm hoping for Walker Buehler. But again, do you want this? Do I think Scott Harris would do this? No. Because Scott Harris is too smart for this.
See, I think Scott Harris would do
Listen, I will be personally offended if Scott Harris does this. Look, Justin Verlander, I pray he retires as a Tiger. He's the best pitcher I've ever seen in my lifetime and will ever see here, okay? I did nothing but good memories of what he tried to do for this town. Rico, he's 42. Mm-hmm. The numbers don't lie. Right. The injuries don't lie.
Right, but you also hope maybe he'll be that de facto pitching coach. And,
oh, Christ.
Hey, fellas, and tell the stories around the campfire of the good old days in Detroit when we went to the World Series.
What is he, Paul Newman and Slapshot?
Pretty
is
much.
Is he having meetings with the secret owner in Florida, too?
Brother, I'm just saying, it actually fits what Scott Harris is saying.
Talk
I can get him cheap for 1 year.
Talk to the people. I don't buy it. I somebody throw the damn number out before I get angry.
248-539-9797. Should the Tigers make this move? Because it seems like people want this. People, according to this free press poll, they wanted Verlander over Alex Bregman. Over Vladdy. They wanted Verlander. They wanted to bring JV back.
Go ahead. Now, if you sold me, here's the caveat I'd offer. If the rest of the offseason were just electric, like they sign an Alex Bregman, they bring in Anthony Santander, and their pitching option is cheap in 1 year and it's Verlander, I can frame it different. Because let me be candid with you. I don't really care what a fit starter is. It really means nothing to me. Their front four is going to be really formidable. Now, look. Do I want them to sign a number two to pair with Skubal to take the pressure off Olsen and Mize and Jobe? Of course I do. But what I'm saying is, if the rest of the offseason were so good that this was the last move, I wouldn't freak out. I also wouldn't sit here doing what a lot of people apparently are doing, touching their chandelier. But I just this is the type of goofy, small market, folksy garbage that unserious organizations do. I'm not interested in having Verlander back here. I don't think he can pitch no more. That doesn't mean I don't retire his number. It doesn't mean I put him on the brick wall. I don't care.
Right. Even if you did the ceremonial, I'm going to sign you for 1 day type of thing. But yes, I think for some, they're thinking, you know what? Maybe Fetter can fix him too. Maybe we can, you know, get just a little juice out of him and he could become that number two starter for us. And we got him for dirt cheap.
If your plan is to make him your number two starter, cancel the season. You're insane. I said number five. There is no scenario Justin Verlander at age 42 is going to make 35 high-quality starts. None. I don't care how good Chris Fetter is. He's years removed. And look, love the guy. But you're telling me I can't do better than this? See, this is the problem I have with this idea. It is foregoing absolutely superior options that aren't Max Fried or aren't Corbin Burns. They're just better options for cheap. I don't care about nostalgia. Cheap I want to
easy.
Win.
Yeah. No. Mike, you just hit cheap and easy. But.
Oh, God. Maybe you get a free order of Crazy Puffs, too, right?
I think it fits the plan.
David hasn't said a word. Kenny is just drinking his swill. What is that, vodka in your water bottle? What's going on over there?
I wish. No, I wish, thinking about that JV idea, there's no way I have him pitching number two, but what I worry about is, okay, they bring in a JV, and then they say, all right, that's it.
No,
that's our offseason.
There's no way.
Even I will
give the organization more credit than that.
Kenny, let me add a caveat to that. He's going to be the biggest signing that you have in the offseason. You'll bring in other pieces. He's the crown jewel of the offseason. That's what I think. Kenny and I are simpatico on that. Yep. I could easily see this. And look, I don't know if this poll speaks for everybody because David looks like he wants nothing to do with me. David, once again, I don't agree with this. But what it tells me is, once again, Detroit fans are falling in love with years past and they just want to
they want to remember the good times. And JV represents the good times.
Yeah, I wanted to believe that this poll was fake, that this was not real, that this was a nightmare that I was reading. But the fact that fans voted Verlander as the move they want, I can't do it. I can't do it. Because this isn't just talking of, this isn't about, oh, well, they signed him and the team doesn't care. This isn't that. This is the fans saying this. They deserve better. I don't know if they do, though, with this poll. This is what they want? No, 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 no. You don't want JV. I don't want him at all. I don't even want him as a fifth starter. Don't sign him at all. I don't want him here. I want to win. Signing him is a sign to me that you're not trying to win. You're just trying to go back to the old days and have nostalgia all over again. And I don't need it.
There is no report that has linked the Tigers to doing it. This was a poll by the Freep. I think it is just damaging to know that these are the people I'm dealing with. You had a baseball team that just made the playoffs. And the winner of this poll is a 42-year-old over-the-hill pitcher. Because you have memories of him. I want to remind you. 12, 13 years ago was the last World Series. 13. Trading him was almost a decade ago. Almost. Guys, this is why your ball club probably doesn't act in a more serious manner. You're not a serious fan base. Alex Bregman finishing behind JV. A trade for Vladdy behind JV. Christ, why don't you sign Mickey Tettleton while you're at it?
An online gambling site says if Verlander does not sign with the Astros, the Cubs 3-1, Dodgers 4-1, your Tigers 5-1.
Why the hell did the Dodgers want him? They got a zillion pitchers. They're going to sign the Japanese guy coming over this year. Well, ain't it? What are they going to do, a 9-man rotation? God, Dodgers kill me, man. They have no guardrails. They just go, go, go. What a dream it's got to be a fan of theirs.
West Coast Yankees, man. Well, I guess West Coast Mets.
But it's even better. Their TV deal's even better. They got a monster TV deal. Hey, you know what? We should just be happy. We got a Ferris wheel and some puffs. It's going to be all good.
And worst case, if you don't like it, you can just always go to the beach.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the people. I got a couple open lines. You want them. Do you really want JV in a Tiger uniform? Is this what we're doing, people? All right, let's get to it. 3 o'clock, and we've got multiple items to discuss with Mr. TJ Lang. I do want to ask about the Bryce Underwood stuff. If you missed our take on it, odyssey.com rewind. You tip your cap, it's respect. At least one school in this state's trying. The whether it'll work and stuff, we didn't get to because it's immaterial to the discussion today, which is, Michigan took a big swing to be a big boy in the future. That's all you can ask. And reminder, it's not your money. I don't care. My heart doesn't bleed for Larry Ellison. God bless. He wanted a quarterback. What am I going to do? It's just, I wish we had somebody like that.
Well, you do, don't you?
No.
That basketball guy that
No.
owns that big company?
Yeah, he was told he can't spend anymore.
Oh. Well, he was when Mel was there.
Right, I mean,
and then he was told he can't do that.
And then the NBA was like,
"Oh yeah. Okay, the conflict. Okay,
it doesn't. Immaterial. We play in the GLIAC. Who cares about us? I wanted your opinion. No. Full disclosure. You and I were texting a little bit last night, and it just you had big opinion. It surprised me because generally you're just a ball breaker, but you actually had opinions about college football. But like when you heard the Underwood news, you played the game. Obviously, you weren't the most coveted athlete out of high school.
No, 1D1.
But when you see the money getting tossed around, just what do you make of all this? Because you like college football like we did.
Yeah, I do. And I used to love college football.
Right.
I used to care less what happened on Sundays. I was so dialed in, you know, Saturday starting 9 a.m. college game day. I want to see what's going on. I want to keep up with the recruiting, right? Who are we going after? Who the team's going at? Who's the next big thing? Man, I can't wait to see what this kid looks like in 2 years. He's a freshman. Wait till he's a senior. That's gone. That's gone for me. And I think it's gone for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that anymore. This game is so different where these are one-year contracts. You don't really build a program anymore. You build a team on a year-to-year basis. Mm-hmm. And for me, as being a college fan, That's taken a lot of the joy out of it for me. So yesterday, yeah, when the news came that they flipped Bryce Underwood, I don't know who to give credit to. I don't know if that's the Michigan guys or Sharon Moore recruiting his, not the players, but the donors, right? And saying, guys, hey, now's the time to step up. Or if it's the donors that's saying, hey, we're coming off national championship. We're 5-5. This ain't right. Like, we're going to do something about it. Either way, I think that the more exciting part for a Michigan fan has to be the fact, and you nailed it, Mike, the fact that they're playing ball now. The fact that they are changing with the circumstance that is today's college football, which is you got to pay to play. You got to pay to be a big dog, right? Yeah. And that's not new to any programs. Michigan, I think, just wanted to take this approach. Oh, we're going to do it our way, and kids are going to want to come here because of the block. That's gone. They don't care about that anymore. It's how much you're going to pay me. So it bothers me that this is where we're at, but I think part of me rooting, you know, for Michigan and growing up a Michigan fan and watch, at least they're trying to do something about it. TJ, at least they're not sitting on a 5-5 season and saying, okay, well, hey, let's just try to go do it the old-fashioned way and recruit our butt. Like, you can't do that.
I think they
can't do it anymore.
I think they went that way. Ohio State said, watch what we're going to do. We're going to spend a bunch of money. We got the block in. We're going to get kids. Wait, we didn't get kids. Ohio State spending. And all the Michigan fans and boosters, this can't happen again. Exactly. So we have to match Ohio State's energy.
Yeah.
So what do we need? This quarterback. All right. Well, let's find out how much that quarterback costs, and let's go get this guy in the house.
So I'm more. If I Michigan fan, I think you should be more excited that Michigan is willing to play this way. They're willing to change. They're willing to adapt to the new age of college football. I'm more excited about that than I am Bryce Underwood. I don't get excited about high school kids coming in that have no snaps of college film, that you've never seen play. We've all seen five stars that come in and they're absolute trash, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but I'm more excited that the fact that they're finally starting to adapt to the new age of college football, which means, hey, we're going to be aggressive in the portal. Hey, we're going to be aggressive going to get the guys. We're not going to lose guys to other schools because we just didn't want to pay them, right? Yeah. So that's where I look at it and say, okay, this is going to open up more opportunities to bring in other players. Now that other players around the country are thinking, oh man, look at Michigan, right? They're handing out the cash. Okay, let me put them back on my radar a little bit, right? So I think that the opportunities that just this deal represents and being able to flip a guy, and look, Brian Kelly's a douchebag down at LSU. I'm not going to, you know, say LSU was some major program that you didn't flip a guy from Alabama, Ohio State. LSU is, Brian Kelly's a fraud. I think we all know that. But
come on, man, I got friends at LSU.
Just anytime you could, you know, throw a dagger at Brian Kelly, I think we would all
call it Rob. Is that you?
Damn.
But I think just my overall impression, I was more excited that Michigan was willing to finally change what they were doing and change their mindset more than I was, oh, we're getting the number one quarterback in the nation. Watch this. Like, if we were going to transfer, you know, maybe that's different, right? A guy that's proven already in college football.
I had that conversation.
Then I can be excited
night.
About the player. But I can't even be excited about the player, Mike, because listen, and I'll mention this too. People that are congratulating and celebrating this kid Underwood for taking the money and going to Michigan, if you're going to celebrate that now, don't blast the kid in 2 years when he gets a bigger bag from somewhere else and decides to leave.
Or TJ,
that's part of the game.
TJ, or my thing is, don't blast the kid if he comes out there and throws some picks early in the season. And then it's like, well, what are we paying this money for? First of all, you didn't pay anything. Second of all,
yeah,
it's a learning curve. So we'll get to that later, because trust me, that's probably going to happen. But right now, you did what you had to do. You're competitive. You're gaining momentum. You're winning the offseason. And David put it best. Nobody's going to remember this year. If Michigan goes 6-6, nobody's going to remember. They're going to remember Sharon Moore. You got
Bryce Underwood. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I kind of feel that way, you know, as
you opted out there in Fresno State.
Hey, whatever happens, Ohio State. And keep building this momentum of who you're bringing in. I can't wait to see what the signing day is going to look like. I can't wait to see what the portal's going to look like, right? So that's a good point. But this is just the reality of college football right now. NIL, transfer portal. Look at the top 10 teams in the playoff rankings. You know, in college football right now, and their quarterbacks, right? Ohio State, transfer quarterback. Oregon, transfer quarterback.
Indiana,
transfer Miami. Quarterback. Texas, I know he didn't play much, Quinn Ewers, but he was at Ohio State, transfer quarterback. Ole Miss, right?
Transfer quarterback.
Georgia, I mean, all these. This is just the reality of college football. So the kid hasn't even signed at Michigan yet. I know we still have time before signing day, but if you were asking me to put down, you know, if I am I going to bet that Bryce Underwood's going to be here for 3 or 4 years, odds are you're going to find a transfer. He's going to go somewhere else. You can find somewhere else. But I think that this shows if you do lose somebody, you're willing to pay to replace him. And I think that that goes a lot farther than just bringing in some high school kids.
See, well, because I think at that point, you're going to find out how committed is Michigan to this game. Will they be, you know, is this going to be a one-off? Like, you know what? It didn't work. We don't want to do this anymore. Or it didn't work. Let's go out, do a little better, but we're still going to spend money. Because a lot of schools jumped out there, hey, we're going to spend all this money, and it failed. And now the donors are like, yeah, I didn't get a good return on the investment. I don't want to do this
anymore. Yeah, I mean, with who you are in the...
But like Phil Knight in Oregon, he's like, I don't care. Yeah.
I think you've already put your stuff on the table saying, you know, this is the way we're willing to go now. We're willing to adapt. So,
can't go backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, time will tell, but... I think that this shows that, hey, we're with the big boys now, right? If we lose a guy, who cares? We'll throw more money at another guy to right. replace him, right? That's a game that they haven't played the last couple years.
You only have one choice. You have to spend and then spend more. If you're looking at it, it's an arms race. And the spending doesn't guarantee a win.
It is.
But not spending guarantees you lose.
Yep.
So it's simple.
And I hate
they're
it.
Well, no, look.
We could argue that
separate
all day,
conversation. Yeah. No, it's largely why I can't give an F about much of college football. I like betting it. I do a podcast that covers it a bunch, and I do this show. The reality is, none of it feels authentic to me. As you said, look, I got no problems, but Bryce Underwood had a year and a half to go to U of M. He wouldn't fart in their face. They dropped 12.5 and doubled up LSU, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm home. Nah, son, you took the bag. Respect. Yeah. That's life changing money. Fantastic for you, and the school gets what they want, you get what you want, right? Yeah. Put the money on the nightstand. There you go.
Stupid not to do it. I mean, but if I was advising a kid, you know,
but my point is there was always an allure with college. Maybe we're stupid people as college fans that the player had an element of wanting to be at that school.
Yeah. And hey, look at this freshman. Can't wait to see what he looks like in 2 years.
That's gone.
You don't have any of that anymore.
Because it's basically like watching the Lions or the Giants. Oh, wait, no, it's not because there's no contracts.
It's a year to your
See, if Bryce Underwood signed a contract where Michigan was stuck with him and he was stuck with them, I might be able to like work my way back towards the sport that I once loved because at least there'd be certainty. Mm-hmm. Much like the NFL, like, hey, my GM's an idiot or my GM's a genius. Now it changes every 5 days.
No, Mike, this is the argument that I had with a lot of State fans during the season. I'm like, with Aiden Charles, I'm like, guys, there's no guarantee he comes back. Now, he's come out in the paper and says, I'm coming back, but...
If you throw 17 picks... Sorry, that slipped out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's like emotional Tourette's. I want to apologize to you.
No, but here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
No, but here's the thing. Every new quarterback does that. So, the funny thing is... Michigan fan, David may be having the same conversation as we're like, yeah, David, we were you last year. Because you pay that amount of money, there is no development. It is, son, go out there, and you got to play from day one.
Yeah.
I've never seen this defense before. Where are you going to learn on the fly? Don't throw to the opposing colors.
And that's why I didn't want to go down the will it work thing today. The whole idea is what TJ said, what I've said. You tip your cap because Michigan isn't acting above anything. They're playing ball. They're getting in the dirt. No, we're not talking about cheating. We're talking about, okay, this is an arms race. This is what OSU's doing.
Yeah.
This is what Miami's doing. This is what Oregon's doing. You have one choice. Evolve or die. Right? Our program's dead. They're evolving. You tip your cap. I can't slander it. Would I do it? Like, if you came to me and said, look, we could spend 12.5 on a high school player, or we could take that same 12.5 and put it towards established portal players, I go choice B. But ain't nobody going to complain if you said, look, it'll get you the number one player in America. Respect, man. They're doing what they got to do.
Yeah. And you wonder if what Michigan is doing now will wake up other schools, right? If that will kind of put a jolt in the ass of other teams.
Now us?
Saying, oh, no. No. Well, see, no, TJ, here.
Why not, though?
Here's how I see
it. We're hapless.
Okay. He's cashed out.
Well, I know.
He's cashed out. He's emotionally damaged right now. So... So no matter what they do, they can go out there and get the number 2 through 10 player. And everybody, yeah, but you didn't get one. But I'll say this. Michigan, yeah, I said that. Michigan is basically saying we're now competing We're in the playoff division.
That's right.
Yeah. We're no longer worried about the Big Ten.
Haves and have-nots.
We handle our business, and we're going to get a playoff spot. We may get a bye. We may have to travel someplace, but we're going to be in the playoffs. We're competing with Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, though Texas, those teams. We're not worried about MSU, Purdue, Minnesota.
That's why I respect whatever.
Yeah. Maybe it took a slap in the ass of being 5-5 coming off the national championship to wake you up a little bit.
And right? I think that, and you're watching Ohio State, and they just keep stockpiling players, and you look at your cupboards, and I think a lot of it was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
This is our quarterback room? Well, seriously.
And I think you're starting to realize there's no honor when it comes to the portal and recruiting high school kids. Like TJ, a kid used to be committed back in the day. Okay, he's committed. You know, unwritten rule, he's off the table, right? We're not going to interfere with something.
Until Urban Meyer showed up to the Big Ten.
Yeah, but not only with that, but with the guys in the portal, right? They entered the portal, and then 2 hours later, and I'm not throwing shade, but like Keon Coleman enters the portal. An hour later, he's at Florida State. Uh-oh. You know what I mean? So it's like, but that's just an example. But there's no honor anymore. Caleb Downs, right? One of the best All-American safeties, Alabama. Up hour later, he's at Ohio State. There's no honor anymore. I think Michigan's starting to figure that out, and they're finally starting to play that game.
Let me give you a dirty little secret, okay? When a kid goes into the portal, there's one of two kids. Smart kid has already worked out that deal.
Exactly.
And they already know where they're landing. So that's why I'm in the portal. And then all of a sudden,
I'm not.
Here I am. I'm a Seminole. Here I am. I'm a Buckeye.
Right.
And then not-so-smart kid, I'm going in the portal, and I'm going to wait on Kalen DeBoer, and I'm going to wait on these coaches to call me, and the phone never rings.
Let me tell you, when this man gave his verbal pledge to Jeff Jenick, his word was as strong as oak.
Did you just look that up? No. How do you know Jeff Jenick was that?
I'm a complete loser.
You're a nerd.
Up next, we're talking Ron Woodruff.
We talk Jeff Jenick all day. Please don't bring up Chris Creighton. That was another.
I'm not. No. Wednesday night. I told you I'm in a good mood today. Wednesday Danny night. Dimes is dead. Oh, great.
That's good. You took Doug Karsh's words to heart this week.
What's that?
Be respectful to others.
Oh, no. To hell with Chris Creighton. I'm normally just saying
Friday,
I wasn't going to.
It's a bloodbath in here. But.
No, I wasn't going to do that to you today. Today's a positive day. We got to talk Lions. We'll get to it next. I've got questions about this business trip the Lions are on.